Shalom Rabosai, today's daf is Shabbos daf Nun Tes. We are holding in the middle of the sixth parak of Shabbos, talking about the items that women and other people are allowed to walk out into Rosh Hashanah Rabim with on Shabbos. And we had discussed at the bottom of Nun Chesim Beis, talked about a bell that is missing the inside of the bell, which I looked up is called the clapper. If the bell is missing the clapper, so the Gemara wants to know why it's still Mekabel Tumah. So Rav had said, here on the top of Nintesim and Aleph, since Hovaroi Lakishu Agabi Cheres, since you can bang it on top of a Kli Cheres, some earthenware pot, you can still get a noise out of the bell, so therefore it's still Mekabel Tumah. It's still considered a Kli. And then we said, Itmar Nami, I'm Rabbi Yossi, Baruchanina, Hov, Roy, Lakishal, Gabi Chares, right? Rabbi Yossi agrees with that. And Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Rabbi Yochanan says, Hov, Roy, Ligamoa, Bo, Mayim, Latinok. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, since the bell, if you turn it upside down, you could use it theoretically as a cup to help a child swallow water. Excuse me, it's still considered a Kli, and therefore it is still Makabal Tumma. So the Gemara says, one second, Rabbi Yochanan, Lo, Boy, Me'in, Malacha, Rishona. Does Rabbi Yochanan not require this to be like its original function? Meaning, we've discussed before that for a kli to lose its ability to be mekabel tumah, it has to become useless. Okay, that's why if you have a use for the bell, it's not mekabel, it's still mekabel tumah. It's not considered to not be a kli, meaning it doesn't lose its status as a kli. So Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina, Rabbi Yochanan had a machlokas. What use is there for this bell? Rabbi Yochanan Bar Chanina said you can still get the sound out of it by smashing it on top of a kli cheres. And Rabbi Yochanan says, no, you can use it as a cup. So the Gemara asks, doesn't Rabbi Yochanan require it to still be useful for its original purpose? Right, the purpose of a bell is to make a noise. Rabbi Yochanan seems to subscribe to the idea, and we're going to see that, and the Gemara is going to prove that in a second, that a kli, for it to be considered a kli, needs to be able to be used for its original purpose. If you can use a kli for something else, but not its original purpose, then it should theoretically, according to Rabbi Yochanan, lose its status of a kli and lose its ability to be a mekabel tumah. So the Gemara is going to go and prove that right now. That's what the Gemara means. For Rabbi Yochanan, lo boy me'in malacha rishona, doesn't Rabbi Yochanan require the kli to still be useful for its original purpose? V'atanya, he's willing to rabbeisa, v'kol kli asher yeshev alav yitzmah, any kli that if you sit on it, it will become tamei. This is a pasuk. This is, talks about tumas midras. We actually just had that. Tumas midras is basically if a person is someone is either a zav or a zava, or other examples. I think maybe a yoledes is basically that if you sit on something and you are of one of those tumas that will be metame, the item that you sit on becomes tame, right? You don't have to, even if you don't have to actually touch it, even if you're not actually touching it. So if you, the whole princess and the classic princess and the pea example, if you sit on 10 mattresses, since you're sitting on all 10 mattresses, so if you're tame midras, so then you will be metame all of them. So that we learn out from that pasuk that we just quoted. V'chol kli asher yishev alav yitzmah, any kli that you sit on will become tame. So yachol, you might have thought that kafes sa'ah, if you had overturned, now a saw is a measurement, but what it means here is like a barrel that would hold a saw. A saw is a pretty big measurement, I forget exactly how much it is. Decent size, pretty big size. If you, let's say you would kafa, you overturned a saw, a barrel that holds a saw of, let's say, grain, for yashav aleha, and you sat on it, meaning you sat on a barrel. Kafa tarkov, or you turned over a barrel that holds a tarkov, which is half a saw, for yashav aleha. Right, let me say, regardless of what the measurements are, let's say you might have thought that if you overturned a barrel and sat on it, yehei tamei, that it would also become tamei. Tam alomar, the pasuk says, asher yeshev alav hazov, that the zov sits on, meaning anything that, I guess the Gemara explains, mishem yuchai liyeshiva, anything that is usually, normally set aside for sitting, a chair, a bed, a stool, those things are a piece of cloth, a rug, a carpet, whatever. Any of those things are mekabel tumas midras, but not some random barrel that you overturned. Yotzazeh, so therefore, it excludes sha'omrim lo amod v'nasa malachtenu. It excludes anything, and this is a cute little phrase, and it has two applications, so it's important. Bryce is a little tough because it doesn't spell out everything. So yotzazeh, that will exclude anything that is not miyuchad liyeshiva, because she'omrim lo, we say to him, it's as if the barrel is saying to the guy, get off of me. Amod, get off of me, v'nasa melachteinu. Let me go do my work. Meaning, I'm a barrel. I'm not a seat. You can't be metame me. Get off of me. Turn me over. Let me do my work. So now there are two, Rashi explains that there are two halachas that come out of this amod, v'nasa melachteinu. This cute little phrase, it's as if the barrel is saying, get off me, let me do my work. The first one is that, as we just mentioned, that the kli cannot be mekabel tumah if it's not usually made for sitting. The other one is that if it is no longer able to do its original work, meaning if it's no longer able to be, to nasa malachtenu, to do what it was supposed to do, then it's also not mekabel tumah from tumas midras. The example that Rashi brings here is, let's say you have like a rug that is 3x3. Again, remember, if you had the 3x3 tefachim versus a 3x3 finger widths. So if you have a rug that's 3x3 tefachim and you cut it in half, so usually you would sit on a rug that's 3x3 tefachim, that would be like a cushion or whatever, but once you cut it in half, it's not big enough for sitting, so it is no longer mekabel tumas midras. So that's what we're going to see is excuse me, the whole point that Rabbi Yochanan is going to bring. Again, remember how we started this, that it needs to be able to do its original function or something similar to its original function. Keep that in mind as we go by through. So, Rabbi Yochanan Amar, just skipped a little back into the Gemara. Okay, now there's a machlokus in terms of what type of tumma this whole thing applies to. Rabbi Elazar says, Bimidrasos omrim amod v'nas malachtenu. This is all true by tumas midras, by the sitting and making something tumma. The inomrim b'tame mace amod v'nas malachtenu. But we don't say this by tumas mace. So if a tumas mace would, touch an item in a way that it's not normally used, it would still make it tame. Rabbi Yochanan says, Af omer b'tame mace amod v'nas malachtenu. So we even say by tumas mace that if a kli is touched, and then it becomes not useful for its original purpose, right? If whatever, like we said, the example of the piece of cloth, which is a kli, but then it gets cut in half, so then it loses its tumma status. If it loses its original ability, its original purpose, then it will be no longer mekabel tumma. So that's exactly what the question that we had before. According to Rabbi Yochanan, how can you use this bell that's missing a clapper in a way that makes it a kli? Rabbi Yochanan says you can use it as a cup. Well, a cup is not a bell's original function. Rabbi Yosef Bar Yochanina said, yeah, you can still make the noise by slamming it against the kli cheres. So, yeah, that would keep to our principle of it has to be usable in its original manner. So Gemara says, you're right, epoch kamaisa, switch the two opinions at the top. Meaning, Rabbi Yochanan is the one who says that since the bell is usable to make a sound, then it is still mekabel tumah. And Rabbi Yosi Bar Yochanan is the one who says that since you can drink with it, it is still mekabel tumah. So Gemara says, "My chazis to ipkas kamaisa." What made you flip meaning the top braces on top? Ipach basraisa. Why don't you flip the Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yochanan shita that we just had in the braisa that we quoted right here? So Gemara says, "Hashamina le Rabbi Yochanan debay main malach rishona," because we learned elsewhere that Rabbi Yochanan requires this whole concept that a kli needs to be useful for its original purpose. The Tanan, like we learned in the Mishnah, sandal shel behema shamatechas. If you have a this is a Mishnah in Kalim. If you have not a horseshoe but a sort of like a boot for an animal that's made out of metal, a horse, where let's say we ride out to war or something with, not necessarily a horseshoe, but something to protect its foot. So it's tummy. So that is tummy. So the Gemara says, "Lamai chazi." What do you mean tummy? What is it useful for? And Rashi says, "Imshim behema in takshe la behema." There's no such thing as a takshe. There's no such thing as a decoration for an animal. And so what kind of? It must be a kli, and therefore, what is its use? So Rav says, "Roy lishtos bo mayim b'milchama." You can use it to drink water during a war. Right? If you're out in the war, you don't have a cup, so you can drink some water. No, you can use it to pour some oil onto you in war. Meaning, according to Rabbi Chanina, it's a little bit, right, you wouldn't want to drink water out of that. That's really gross. But you could use it to kind of pour oil onto yourself and anoint yourself. And here's the point that we need. Rabbi Yochanan Omer, b'shashe bo reach min hakrav, when a person is running away from battle, Manichu baraglav, you can put it on his foot. Virat al kutsa ve'al barkanim, and you can run on thorns and things that might hurt your foot. You can use it as like a boot. So therefore, you see that it has a use similar to its original intended purpose. So therefore, it's makabel tumah. That's Rabbi Yochanan Shita, that the item that you're talking about needs to have its original purpose somewhat intact. So the Gemara just says parenthetically, "My ben Rav Rechanina, what's the nafkamina between Rav, who said that you can drink from it, and Rav Rechanina, who says that you can anoint it oil with it? So keep an eye on the mice, right? If it's disgusting, so then obviously it's going to be makabel tumah according to Rav Rechanina, because you can still use it for oil, but it's not going to be makabel tumah anymore according to Rav, because he needs you to be able to drink from it. What's the difference between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Chanina? What's the difference between those two shitas? So you can be now the yakir. If it's really, really heavy, usually yakir means valuable. So Rashi says kaved. You're not able to run with it. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, it will no longer be a kli, and it will not be b'kal b'tumma. But according to Rabbi Chanina, you can still technically use it to anoint yourself with oil, and therefore it is a kli, and it is still b'kal b'tumma. Okay. We said in the Mishnah two dots, lo be'ir shel zohav, a woman is not allowed to go out with a city of gold. The Gemara says, my be'ir shel zohav, what is that? So Bar Chana, Mav Yochanan, Yushalayim de dehava, a Yushalayim of gold. Kid'avid le Rabbi Akiva de debisu, like Rabbi Akiva made for his wife. Now it's some sort of adornment. The Mishnah's book, I have a Mishnah's book that has pictures, so it seems to go around a woman's forehead. But basically, it's out of some sort of decoration that has the skyline of Yerushalayim in gold. Right? We have similar artwork nowadays that a woman used to wear, perhaps around her head. She's not allowed to go out with that on Shabbos because, again, she may come and show it to a friend and take it off on Shabbos and be mavir daladamas pishus harabim, which is obviously usur midoraisa. Now, just to point out over here, Rashi says that b'mesachas nedarim Rabbi Akiva. Like he made for his wife, it's actually Gemara there actually says he promised it to his wife, right? When Rabbi Akiva, pretty well known story about Rabbi Akiva that he wasn't a tzaddik, wasn't much of a talmid chacham or didn't know anything actually when he married his wife, and his father-in-law Kabbal Savua said he's not going to support them, and Rabbi Akiva promised his wife, "Don't worry, I'll take care of you. I'm going to end up. We'll be fine. That we'll be so good parnasa wise that I'll be able to make you a this." Yushalayim de Dehava, this city of gold, and I'm not sure if he actually ended up making it, but that's at least what he promised her. Okay, the Gemara here seems to imply that Rabbi Akiva made good on his promise. Okay, Tanur Rabbanan with another brisa. Excuse me. Lo seitzei isha b'ir shel zav. Woman is not allowed to go out with a city of gold type decoration on Shabbos. V'miyotza chayev eschatas. She is chayev. It's also midiraisa. She is chayev chatas if she does b'shogeg. Divrei Rabbi Meir. V'chachamim omrim. V'chachamim say lo seitzei v'miyotza patura. If she should go out, if she did, then she's potter. Again, by Shabbos, potter aval. Also meaning it's also midirabanan. And Rabbi Eliezer omer yotza isha b'yishozov v'chachila. Rabbi Eliezer says, no, it's mutter legamre. And she can go out with this type of jewelry. So Gemara says, but my kamiflegever, what is this machokes? Very rare, is it, for you to have across the spectrum, chayiv midiraisa, chayiv midirabanan, also midirabanan, and completely mutter? Very rare. So the Gemara says, what's the machokes? Rabbi Meir sover, Rabbi Meir holds, masuhu, it's a burden. And therefore, it's like you're carrying anything. It's not, it's not an intrinsic piece of clothing. It's a masu, it's a burden, and therefore you're chayiv for otzah. Rabbanan savri takshidu. Rabbanan hold, no, it's a takshid. It's a piece of jewelry that's, part of what a woman wears. But dilma shalfa mechuyole ve'asir lasuye. Right? Maybe, again, the concern we've been mentioning, maybe she'll take it off to show one of her friends, and then she'll end up carrying it. Rabbi Eliezer savri, no. It's mutter legamre. Why? Because man darka li mepek b'ir shel zav, who usually goes out with these fancy gold Yushalayim city jewelry, pieces of decorations? Isha chashuva, right? Only a wealthy, important woman. Isha chashuva lo mishalva u'mechuya. And a wealthy woman, an important woman who holds herself in high stature, is not going to just start taking off her jewelry. Hey, look what I got, look what I got, look what I got. It's not befitting of a woman of that stature to do that, and therefore there is no problem for her to go out on Shabbos. Okay. Kalila, what about a kalila? A kalila is kind of like a tiara type thing. What about a tiara? Is that considered a takshin? Is that considered a masa? We're going to see exactly what it was made of, what it looked like. Rav Aser Shmuel Ashari. So Rav says it's Aser, and Shmuel says it was Mutter. So Gemara says the Insika, if it is made out of, the Insika literally means a hammer or something that has been hammered out, so it's referring to something that's gold or silver. Rashi says, Dainu Zav or Kesef. Davra hanitach, right? Something that is slammed by a hammer. That's how you, right? Some sort of metal, some sort of fancy gold or silver tiara. So kuli amalo pligi de aser. Everybody agrees that it is aser. Ki pligi de aroksa. Only they argue when it, if it's made out of some sort of fabric. Rashi says ritsua, right, a fabric, a strap. Shemetzayeres bezov avanim tovos, that they used to decorate with gold and fancy jewels. So the question is, this type of, second-tier tiara, what's the deal? So Marsover Aniskag Iker, according to Rav, who says it's Aser, so the gold and the jewels are the Iker, and therefore, since it's, since we're talking about gold and jewels and fancy stones, so she may come to show that to other people, she may come to take it off and carry it to Alam Shrizer Abim. Marsover Aroksa Iker, and Shmuel, who said that that's Mutter, says, no, the fabric is Mutter, and therefore she's not going to just start showing off, this piece of strap, piece of fabric that she has wrapped around her head. Okay. Ravashni Masneu Kula. Ravashi learned, no, it's a little bit more Mako, that the Machlokas Rav and Shmuel is by the gold, and the Aroksa, the fabric one, the one that's stitched, let's say that has the gold and silver pieces and the jewels, the Kuli Amalo Pligi, everybody agrees, the Shari, that it's Mutter. Ki Pligi Aniska, the Machlokas is by a gold or silver one. Mar Sover Dilma Shalfa Machuya V'Asi Lesuye, according to Rav, who holds that it's Aser, she may come to take it off and show it to her friends, and therefore she may come to carry it to the Rav's Pashus Ravim. Umar Sover and Shmuel holds that it's Mutter, the same thing we had before by the Irshel Zav. Man Darko Le Mepek Beklila, who goes out in the city with a tiara? So Isha Chashuva, a very important woman, a wealthy woman. Isha Chashuva Lo Shalfa Umachuya. And a wealthy woman is not going to just go out and start showing off her jewelry. Amr Leir of Shmuel Bar Barchana Le Rav Yosef. So, and the Gemara just records that Rav Shmuel Bar Barchana said to Rav Yosef, Beferish Amartlan, you sent to us Beferish, Bishmei de Rav, in the name of Rav, Klila Shari, that a Klila, that a tiara, is Mutter. And Rashi just explains because, unfortunately, at the end of his life, Rav Yosef had forgotten a lot of his learning. And therefore they were, that was one of the things that they reminded him. Rashi says, "Lefnei Chol Yecha, Kodem Sheshachakti Limudecha, Talmudecha." Right, that basically the students had the habit of reminding Rav Yosef his teachings because Rechman al-Tzlan, he lost a lot of his Torah learning. Okay. Amr Leila Rav Asa. Amr Leila Rav. Now it was said to Rav. Asa Gavra Rava, Arichal in Naharda. A very great man, Arichal in Naharda, came. He was very Arecha, he's very tall. Lenarada came to Narada, Umitla, and he was limping a little bit. Vidoresh, and he taught that Klila Shari, that a tiara was Mutter. I showed my kids this game we used to play back in the day called Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego. So this Gemara, when I was learning it, when I was preparing it, reminds me of that. Right? Arad is a very tall guy, came to Narada, he was limping. And he taught me halacha, darish klila shari. Anyway, all right. If you're old enough to get that, so then you can appreciate it. If you're not, so then, all right, whatever. Anyway, I'm dating myself, but I don't mind. Omar, so Rav said, man gavar rabba arecha deidla. Who is this guy who is tall and is limping? So Levi. It must have been Levi. Apparently that was his reputation. Shema mino, apparently you see from here that noch nafshe de Rabbi Apis. Apparently, you see that Rabbi Apis passed away. Rabbi Apis was the Rosh Hashiva back in Eretz Yisrael, when Levi was learning. V'yosef Rabbi Chanina Bereshe. They made Rabbi Chanina, who was Levi's Chavrusa, as Rosh Hashiva. V'lo hava lay inish lo Levi l'meisav gabe. And Levi had nobody to learn with. And therefore, v'kasi l'hacha. So therefore, he went to come here. I mean, he wanted someone to push him. And if it's Chavrusa already was becoming the Rosh Yeshiva, so he wanted someone who was greater than him to kind of like to learn from. So Gemara says, Dilma Nach, now one second. How do you know that it is Rabbi Appis that passed away? Dilma Nach, Nafshid Rabbi Hanina. Maybe it's just Chavrusa who passed away. Rabbi Appis, maybe Rabbi Appis is still Rosh Yeshiva there. So the Gemara says, maybe the same thing, meaning maybe he didn't have a Chavrusa, and therefore he came here. How do you know he didn't have a Rosh Hashiva, and therefore he came here? So the Gemara says, "Imisad Rabbi Chanina Shachiv." If it was true that Rabbi Chanina had passed away, Levi le Rabbi Abbas makeav hayakayaflay, because Levi would have still and sat. Literally means he would have bowed to him, but Levi would have sat and learned by Rabbi Abbas. Vesuin also Rabbi Chanina lo sagi le delo molich. It's impossible that Rabbi Chanina would have died before becoming Rosh Hashiva. Molech literally means became a king, but impossible that Rabbi Chanina would have died before becoming Rosh Hashiva. Tichihava kan nicha nafshi der Rebbe, because when Rebbe was passing away, Amar, he said, Chanina, Rabbi Chama, Yosef Barosh, that Chanina, Rabbi Chanina, is going to end up being the head, meaning he's going to end up being the Rosh Hashiva. Uksiv behu, but tzadikim, it says about tzadikim, v'tigzar omer v'yakam lach, in Eov. That basically, Talmud Chacham goes there, because Baruch Hu Makayim. If Rebbe said that, it's impossible for it not to become true. So apparently, Levi actually came to Narada. It was Levi who came to Narada because Rabbi Appas passed away. And therefore, Darish Levi ben Narada Kalila Shari, when Levi taught in Narada that a tiara is mutter to go out with on Shabbos, Nafik Esrin Va'arva Kalila Mikula Narada. There are 24 tiaras that came out on Shabbos in the entire city of Narada. And just to contrast that with a city that was wealthy, meaning that seems to be a small number. Darish Rabba Baravuda, but Mechoza, in Mechoza, Rabba Baravuda taught that Klila Shari, that a tiara is mutter. V'nafku Timni Sari Klila Mechada Mevoa, and 18 tiaras came out from one alleyway. Meaning Mechoza was much wealthier, apparently, than Narada. And you see that in the results of this halakha that was taught that about the tiaras that were mutter for the women to go out with on Shabbos. Okay. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Shmuel. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Shmuel. Sorry. Kamra Shari. A kamra is mutter. What is a kamra? A kamra is a type of fancy belt. The Gemara is going to explain what that was. Ika de Amri da Roksa. Some people say it was made out of fabric. The same that we had before, made out of some sort of stitching, and it was decorated with gold and silver. And let's say gems and whatnot. Amar Rav Safra and Rav Safra said, "Midi have an atlas moves have us just like a golden talus." That doesn't mean a golden talus, but it means people have nice ataras. So it means a talus with a nice golden decoration, and that's similar to the belt. That it was a piece of fabric that had a nice, let's say, atara type decoration on it. Viga de Amri, and some people say, no, Aniska, it was actually made out of gold and silver. The belt was gold and silver, but it was still motivated to go out with on Shabbos, because Amar Rav Safra, Midi Davia Avnit Shamalach. And just like kings wear a golden belt, or a silver belt, or whatever it is, you're not going to take off a belt to show somebody. It's a piece of clothing, right? Obviously, you're not going to start taking off your clothes in the middle of the street. And therefore, it is mutter. Amar Ravina LeRavashi, Kamra Ilui Hamaina Mai. Let's say you have a kamra, like one of these fancy belts, on top of a regular belt. So what's the halacha? So Amar Lei, what are you talking about? Trei Hamaina Kamarta? Are you telling me that two belts? You asking me about two belts? Obviously, one belt is clothing. A second belt is totally unnecessary. You can't go out with some unnecessary type of something on Shabbos, so obviously that's also. That's not the normal way of wearing such things. Amar Avashi, Hai Rasuka. Rasuka apparently translates as a corset or a corset. I don't know how to translate it. I don't know how to... not sure how it's pronounced. But it's an article of clothing that women used to wear. I think it was one of the undergarments. Not sure exactly. Islay mifar chaisa, if it has laces, shari, then it's mutter, because you can tie it tight enough and it's not going to end up falling off. Vilo, but if it doesn't have laces, then it's usher, then apparently it was loose enough and it may fall. And apparently women were concerned about it, that they would take it with them. Dalad amas pushes around them if it actually ended up falling off. Okay, maybe it's not under a garment, it's not that I think about it, because if it's underneath, so then much less chance of it falling off. Okay, I'm not sure. But lemaisa needed to be tied tight to make sure it wouldn't fall off, and if it wasn't, then it's usher for them. I should do a little bit more of a little bit katla. A woman's not allowed to go out with a katla. Kumar says, my katla. So the minakta peri. Basically, Raji explains that that's some type of golden or fancy bib that wasn't actually used as a bib, I would imagine. It's a beged sheish shnatzim ke'ein. Right, they would tie it around their neck and it would go down to a woman's kind of like her navel or perhaps to her heart. Right, some sort of adornment that it was mutter. That's one pshat Rashi. Another pshat Rashi says that it was some sort of half moon. That's what I have on the side of my Gemara. It's like a half moon adornment that went around a woman's neck. It was almost like a collar that they would put inside of the shirt. Like, we have shirts nowadays that are kind of like open and loose on top. So instead of us like tying a tie, they would have this type of half moon type of necklace, I guess, and that would close up any loose shirts or loose pieces of fabric up by the neck. Okay. We said that that's Osir, because they may come to take it off and show it to people. Okay. Nizamim, and just one more. What about Nizamim? So the Gemara says, Nizme'af. Nizme'af is meaning that nose rings are Osir. And nose rings are Osir. Apparently those are easy to take out. And Rashi explains, as opposed to earrings, where is this Rashi over here? Nizamim, right? Nizme Ozen, where is that? Was that on the Mishnah? There's an interesting Rashi over here that says that basically they used to tie their hair around their ears. At the risk of sounding like a nerd, almost like Princess Leia style. This today does happen to be May 4th. Okay, Hamavin Yavin. Not that I'm a huge Star Wars fan, but anyway, I can't find it over here. Nizamim, Tabas. Maybe it's on the Mishnah, I forget already, but one of the Rashis was said that basically women used to tie their hair around their ears. So the earrings were actually more difficult to remove than the nose rings. And therefore, when the Mishnah says that a woman can't go out with rings on Shabbos, Nizamim, it's referring to rings in her nose, because that's easily accessible to take out and show somebody. But the earrings were tied up almost like fastened in the hair that they would tie around their ears, and therefore they were not likely to take those out on Shabbos. Okay, Shkoyach Rabosei, have a great, great day or night, depending on where you are listening to this.